Welcome to CWC Dive Deep, where we take a deeper look into this past Sunday's message, seeking to grow in our faith and learn more about God. I'm your host, Caleb Swartz. This past Sunday, Pastor Arley presented to us the annual report, letting us know about the many incredible ways that God has been working in our church, community, and world throughout the year. It was an eye-opening report, and if you missed it, I highly encourage you to listen or watch the sermon by visiting cwc.life. Since the service was a little different than normal, we thought now would be an excellent time to present you with something special. On April 26, CWC put on its second annual Art of Leadership Conference. This conference was designed to help area leaders develop their skills and master excellence in their practices. Our keynote speaker was Bob Freytag, senior consultant with the Ken Blanchard Companies. After the conference, he agreed to go deeper into his story with us. The following is his conversation with Pastor Arley.
Bob, it was really great having you here today for our Art of Leadership conference. And there's just some good things that happened. It was great to hear both your leadership principles and some of the things that have been a part of what you share and what you bring out. But it was also really encouraging to know your faith journey and what is a part of that. And so I guess I would love to hear, how are you able to incorporate that at all? Because you do lots of secular companies that are huge. Do you get opportunities to share your faith journey at all? Or how is that in that? And because, I mean, there certainly would be some kind of expectation that it would not be a part. But I'm just curious.
Well, thank you, Pastor Arley. And Pat, thank you very much for allowing a good conversation to exist today here at the conference. In sharing my journey, I pray every day. Mm. I pray for God's words, wit, wisdom, in order to do His will. And I turn it over. There are times, and I do work with a number of secular companies, there are times where I'll have people come up during a break or during lunch after the session and ask me, are you a Christian? Mm-hmm. And it's a special moment when that happens, and I say, yes, I am. So when approached, I absolutely stand fast and stand strong and reinforced with it. I try to, through the exhibit of my behaviors and the expressions of faithfulness that I have, in some corporate settings we're asked, they know that our company, the Ken Blanchard Companies, is a faith-filled organization. Ken Blanchard calls himself the chief spiritual officer of our company. And we sometimes, when we go into business with companies, they ask us not to be so direct or overt about faith. When we talk about servant leadership, you know, we love the principles of it, but be careful, here's a line. One of the terms we used today in the conference was ego. And so in secular, I would call it edging good out. When I'm not in a secular place, I will, faith-filled, I'll call it edging God out, right, and use it that way. I make it a point to be humble. I make it a point to demonstrate the servant leader principles and godly principles that are that I'm inspired with. And I ask God to be seen through me. So I don't know that I sit down and I script out, here's what not to say. But I absolutely say, here's what I would love for them to be able to see and be inspired by and encourage questions, curiosity.
It's really, I mean, I know you as well. I'm a very firm believer that all wisdom begins and ends with God and His Word. So, and all history begins with Genesis and ends in Revelation. And so looking at all of that, I find it really intriguing because there's so many principles that cross over. You can use them in a secular context, and they're basically biblical principles that come out. But then, you know, when you can be able to kind of encompass them in a spiritual context, there's actually so much more depth and so much more meaning to
there
it.
There is. There's power in it.
Yeah. And so, you know, edging good out is like, I like that. edging God out. I really like that because it goes to a whole new dimension. And ego itself, like being so centered around me, mm-hmm. You know, is really edging God out. So that's really cool. I love that. And I know that even like today when we talked about emotional intelligence and developing your EQ and what that means, I really feel that there's a biblical framework that goes around that. And that's why, you know, I shared, which I've shared often, we can't grow spiritually beyond where we are emotionally.
Right.
And I really believe that's the biggest hindrance to our spiritual advancement. You talked about your 1.0 and 2.0 kind right. of development yeah. and how it all happened. Could you just share a little bit, sure. maybe the journey that God has had you on, that sure. he's had to maybe humble you, that ego, EGO, has been changed and God has been able to use that?
I sure would. I'd love to share that, Pastor. So Bob 1.0, Bob 2.0, what's the big difference? The big difference is letting God into my life and allowing God to carry the weight. I tried hard to carry the weight and to do right by the rules and the structures that I thought I understood. Just mm-hmm. worked harder and created more loneliness, more separation as mm-hmm. a result of that. So as I shared in the meeting today, the conference today, I actually came home to an empty house in April of 1990 to a woman I fell in love with in high school and we started to raise a family with, a wonderful human being. And before I had come home to that empty house, I had had a phone call that Friday morning asking her, how are you doing on the checklist? We were getting ready for our first family vacation. Mm-hmm. And she went through the checklist that I had prepared before I left to make sure that the stuff would get done. And yeah. that's what it was about. You know, I was in the Navy, so we did things by process and checklist mm-hmm. and yeah. risk management. Sure. We just took care of stuff. I didn't want, vacations were really hard to come by. Mm-hmm. At that time, mm-hmm. wanted to protect it. So just do this checklist and everything will be fine. So I was getting an update Friday morning and she'd gone through a lot of details that she had done. And there were two things on it that stood out to me that had not been done yet, stopping the mail and stopping the newspaper. So what did I focus on? So it sounded like, Karen, you've done a great job with this, but what about? And that's all I focused on. And wow. she gave me the whatever moment, whatever. Wow. And so that was the straw that broke the camel's back for me. And not realizing that I had done anything different than I'd ever done before. We were just, you know, trying to get stuff done. But on the drive home, I was down at Kings Bay, Georgia, and I was driving back to Virginia Beach. That's where they were at. I was contemplating how difficult life was in the Navy for me at that time. I was 10 years in. And I wasn't keeping my sailors around me, number of people trying to transfer, go to request for transfers to other commands. I was constantly having to do work and make sure and drive work. It was just not easy at the time. So I was mm-hmm. contemplating leaving the Navy, going into some other job. When I got home, the house was empty. Nobody was there. Wow. I figured she might be out taking care of last minute things, but she wasn't.
Wow.
I finally tracked her down to the house up in New York. And called, and my daughter Jessica picked up the phone. Hey, Daddy, we just made a long train ride today.
Wow.
Are we still going to Disney World? Grandma's making ice cream sort of moments. I'm not sure what's going on, honey. I'm glad you're there. Can I speak to Mommy? And it was one of those calls that you hear about. It was a real Oprah moment, if you will, before Oprah moments were big. And it was, I love you, don't want to leave you, but I can't take any more phone calls like the one we had this morning. And I need to have some space between us for a while because I'm not sure why you don't trust me. So all of my efforts wow. to try and I'm not rationalizing it today.
Sure.
My heart was on getting stuff done, but making sure it got done the way that I understood it because I knew that was the right way, if you will.
Sure.
That's ego.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I was now faced with that moment, Pastor. And my reaction to that when she hung up the phone was to get ready for the call tomorrow that I wanted to have with her. And that night, I started to compile a list of all of the questions I wanted to ask her,
sure.
right?
Yeah.
And that's when the epiphany occurred. That's when God placed his hand squarely on my shoulder. I felt it. And that list was a list of the same type of questions I would ask my sailors when they were requesting transfers. In other words, it was an exit interview. Another way to say that, Pastor, is my best reaction to that most poignant moment in my life was to create an exit interview for my family.
Right.
And that wasn't right. It was at that point in time that I came face to face with reality, right? It's me. It wasn't my intentions. I intended no harm. Right. I intended to do good work.
Sure.
But I was the one that was doing the work.
Yeah.
And it was all about me.
Right.
And that put me in that moment where I needed to become smarter and I needed to become more humble. And that's where the beginning of Bob 2.0 came from.
Now you're talking about I think it's really relevant for a lot of people to hear that because you're talking about a total life change, a different person from what you were to what you needed to become. And that is like a moment where God has to intervene because we don't change like that naturally. Do you know? We see things maybe about ourselves, but we tend to repeat those. Mm-hmm. We tend to, they become more ingrained. But you're talking about a whole different Bob, from 1.0 to 2.0.
Well,
so what kind of a journey was that?
Yeah.
I'm assuming your wife stayed with you.
Well, I've got another part of the story I'll share in a moment. Okay. So, I took charge of trying to find out why I was having these outcomes that I was not wanting to have.
Sure.
Okay. The separations, the fracturing of relationships at work and at home sort of thing. That was not by the plan that I had made. Mm-hmm. And you've said something that I think is important for the people on this call, and God bless every one of you, is that I wasn't really trying to become somebody different.
Mm.
I was trying to learn behaviors that reflected my intentions better.
Mm.
I intended all the time for us to be able to do good work. I intended for people to want to be around each other.
Right.
I never once woke up in the morning and said, I intend to squash you today with my rules and bureaucracy and checklists.
Okay.
So that would mean that I would have to become a different person because I had poor intentions. My intentions were always good.
Right.
But my habits and my behaviors were not.
The self-awareness was very different.
And that's what brought me to that, right?
Yeah.
And so in that moment, that's the time that I ask people that will hear these, in that moment, open yourself up to God because some influence will come into your life.
Yeah.
Your choice is what that influence will be at that moment.
Sure.
So open yourself up to God. Pray. Mm-hmm. You won't even know maybe exactly what to pray for. Just pray for God. Pray for him to be there. That's what I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I set about a journey not knowing how long it was going to be. There was some inspiration that occurred to me the next day that when I was trying to figure out, the details of it all, that when people were leaving me in the Navy, they were going to another command somewhere.
Yeah.
They were a lot of them were asking to go to one place in particular.
Right.
And I said, why that place? And I know the commanding officer of that boat. Let's see if I can go there. And I did. And I went there and I saw the way that this man worked. And the way that he spent more time praising, believe it or not, in the military, praising than reprimanding, ensured that others knew how to do that. And I said, that's what I can do different.
That 5-to-1 principle.
Oh, yeah. Before it was even mentioned.
He was
practicing that. A lot of these principles, back to your original point, Pastor, is that they're biblically related.
Absolutely.
God loved, above all things, love. How do you show love?
Yeah.
By showing affirmation.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
And affirming. And so that's what I did. Now, the damage in my relationship with my wife, my former wife, had been done.
Mm.
We were, however, as a result of a 9-month journey that I went on to try and change my habits. It wasn't just a light switch. Click.
Right.
Okay,
right.
I see the light. Click. Turn it on.
Boom, yeah.
There was some healing that I had to do, some help that had to take place, some consistency.
Wow.
You know, you'd mentioned earlier today that the big gift that we can give each other and our family is consistency, right? Mm-hmm. That's where safety is going to come from.
Absolutely.
Being consistent on my intentions, getting feedback, pushing my ego down. It wasn't easy, but it was worthwhile. And it was the most valuable thing I could do. So out of that, I did lose a marriage, but I gained a friendship.
Yeah.
And there's a friendship that exists with my former wife now. As a matter of fact,
that's a wonderful testimony. Yeah,
my former wife became, if you want to consider this term, a matchmaker of my wonderful wife that I have, Linda.
Wow,
she was the one that looked out for me and made sure, Karen made sure that somebody special, when she saw her, became available in my life.
Wow.
And excuse me while I get a little bit choked up.
Right.
That's God's work.
Yeah.
It takes time, right? Yeah. We're not in the situations that we're in due to one or two events. It's a long process, and it takes time to get out. Surround yourself with good people, with believers. Bring God into your life many times a day. And so you ask about the secular practices. I try to work biblically, even though I might not always quote biblical references in these settings, these corporate settings that they're paying me to be in.
Yeah.
And sometimes they'll even ask me not to.
Right.
I'm prepared to, but I am 100% of the time prepared to demonstrate biblical principles and show them what that means and looks like.
Wow. That's an incredible story, Bob. Incredible way that God has engineered and worked through your life and brought you to this point as well.
Yes.
And I think, you know, as it's always, I always try to tell people, you didn't get here overnight and you're not getting out of here overnight.
Amen.
It's a process. It's a journey that we're all on of learning and growing and developing. And sometimes, you know, there's heartache that's along the way. And sometimes scars that just can't be changed, but God can be able to redeem all of that, and He certainly has in the way that you have shared and how God has worked through that. So that's an encouraging thing. If there were one or two, whatever kinds of opportunities that you had to share with those, this has been a leadership conference, so it's kind of helping people to understand the importance of leadership and what that means in their lives. What kind of encouragement would you give, and how would you be able to say, you know, to be the most effective leaders, this needs to be in place? What would you do?
Three things, I think. Isn't that amazing? Three things.
Yeah.
How powerful three is.
Absolutely.
It's biblical.
I think the Trinity had something to do with that.
It's biblical. Probably three things, I think. As a leader, tactically, make sure your folks know exactly what to do. Because they're good at one thing doesn't mean they're good at all things.
Okay.
Needs come from a variety of different situational variables. So make sure your folks know what you expect of them each and every time. Don't assume that they do. Make it safe to be clear, and make it safe for them to ask, which is the second one. What keeps them from telling you what they need once they know what to do, what you need them to do, what you, why they need to do that? Okay, so you're providing the what and the why. Okay, at some points they'll need a little bit more of the how to get it done, and then as they become more competent in that, they'll need you to back off. So can you become situationally aware? All right, but make it safe. You said that at the close of our conference today, is to create this culture of trust and safety. All right, and when you do that, when fear is less, you'll get much clearer communication. Truth comes from trust.
Yeah.
If you are requiring your people to have a large amount of courage just to get through their day, then we're doing something wrong there, rooted
absolutely.
Out.
Absolutely.
Right? And the third and most important for me that I have found is that my day is a day that I smile about more often when I invite God in. So every single day, invite Him in. Let others see that that's exactly what you're doing, right? And so don't walk alone. Don't do this by yourself. Enable others. And I guess a subset is you can't be good at everything. So choose what you're going to be good at.
Sure.
Choose what you're going to be good at, and help people share what they want to be good at with you. Maybe that's four things.
That's okay. That's okay. It's still spiritual.
Indeed it is, yes.
This has been great. Thanks so much, Bob, for sharing with us, and just hearing your journey and how God's worked through that is just really an encouraging thing. As we talked about, I think this world is certainly lacking safe places. People can't find those. And so when we create that, whether it's in our workplace or our church or our family or our community, what an impact that can be. And then life change can happen. We talked about getting the most out of whoever we are and whoever our team is. And if you want those who are willing to innovate, be creative, and try new things, you have to create a safe environment for that to happen. If you're not, they'll just do what they're told to do.
That's right.
And whether that's family or our workplace or whatever church, we need to make sure that we're creating that. And you've been really great at helping us to see that a little bit more. So thank you so much.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much for the time, Pastor.